The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray, and I am with Ryan.
Hello.
And Ian tonight.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about our favorite animated TV shows. Now, this can be, we discussed, there's no holds bar. You have to pick your favorites and talk about them. So, web series can count, anime doesn't,
CGI,
yeah,
you name it.
There's no...
If there's no live action in it, it counts.
Right. I'm good with it.
Yep.
We got a little bit of news, kind of a slow week in the world of entertainment.
Very, very slow.
Yeah. Hasbro is being a bunch of douches and suing DC over the name Bumblebee because the world cannot tell between a high school black superheroine and a robot that transforms into a car.
Yeah. I mean, I never knew the difference, did you?
No. I'm actually hoping that Hasbro wins and they combine the character. It's just one character.
Into one.
Yeah.
Like Bumblebee
just
transforming.
Make Bumblebee?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean, Bumblebee's already a Bumblebee.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know why they're... I mean, the main reason is because Bumblebee, the solo movie, comes out in 2018. They want to sell the merchandise, but I don't know when Transformers was officially created, but Bumblebee was created in 1977. So,
chat says it was created 5 years earlier, but I'm thinking Hasbro's logic is since DC lost the lawsuit against Marvel over Captain Marvel, then DC is just a big pushover.
I mean, I'm hoping they don't concede because then they would have to rename the character, and that's just too much.
Yeah.
That's too much. Especially since 1977, to all of a sudden go, lawsuit, gotta change the name.
I love my insect-named superheroines.
They're
too,
fun.
You know?
It's a
we
fun
have
little
Spider-Man
name.
Spider-Man and Black Widow and Wasp and Ant-Man.
Yeah.
The DC needs some, too.
Yes. So give them Bumblebee. Hasbro, stop it.
Bumblebee is adorable.
Yeah,
well, they're not going to stop it.
No.
But
no.
DC's not going to lose unless they, you know,
concede.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that. There's a little bit of Marvel news. MCU tweeted out pictures of Evangeline Lilly as Wasp.
Mm-hmm. Looks amazing.
A little bit disappointing. I liked the gold that on the one you saw at the end of Ant-Man in the post-credits scene.
Completely
it's the same costume.
It is not.
It is.
No, it's
sleeveless. Do you not know the difference between
well, it
sleeves?
Was like it. It was
you run a costume fashion show.
Yeah, shut up. It was like being built then, so I assume they would add sleeves to
it. Yeah, and then completely change the color.
Yeah.
Like,
it's this, almost the same color.
No, it's all black.
It's a blackish blue.
Okay,
boobies.
It was gold. Like, the whole front of it was gold in one of the...
They did a comparison. Look at the picture again, because they did
we
a comparative
will.
Crap.
Yeah.
I'm with Ryan here.
I thought it looked almost similar.
No.
Similar
well, the
is
plating is all
different
similar, but
than...
coloring is all different.
Anyway... Yeah, so what'd you guys think about Misty Knight's robo arm?
I think it's cool. I had no problem with that. Obviously, they're not going to go with a full, you know, Jax-style silver or gold.
I was expecting
arm.
Something more. Like, I thought that when she gets her robo arm, it's from Tony.
It's not coming from Tony. Did you watch Defenders?
Yes.
It's going to come from Rand.
That's the problem
Rand
with Defenders. They don't really mention any of the MCUs, so it's just like, it's Tony who did it, not... Iron
Why
Fist.
Would he do it, though, when they have a billionaire on their own team?
Because Tony's better than
hospital.
Iron Fist.
Whatever. He doesn't care
Tony
about
Tony is better than Iron Fist. I agree. I guess I'm thrown off because it's longer than her left arm, and since both the picture... Like, the picture has
the
both
picture
arms
was awkward.
Down,
I mean, was it actually longer? I feel like the gun, well, the way she was holding the gun,
but I
it's black, and the black gun made it look really weird.
Maybe. Can she extend her arm? Maybe
I will be watching that very closely. Yeah. But yeah. I am happy that it happened. What do you guys think about them tweeting it like a week after Defenders?
I feel like they're kind of spoiling it for fans, but at the same time, if you saw the end of Defenders, it's inevitable it was going to go that
way. Or if you saw Luke Cage, because she gets her arm injured in Luke Cage, too.
It's yes, like, but they don't go that route, which is kind of stupid, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. They're not going to go with a gold arm. No, and something that's supposed to be so realistic and gritty. It's going to be like more of a prosthetic look. Right. And I think that they did that and kind of blended it with the technology fine. It's really hard to judge something like that based off a single still.
Do you think they're going to give her super strength in the arm?
I'm sure that they'll give her something. Yeah, something in the arm for sure.
Follow-up question. Do you think she will replace Iron Fist because that's his power?
No, because it's not going to be obviously
I think she should replace Iron Fist. But that's
someone
just me.
Should.
That's just
maybe
me.
Maybe just the actor and the writer for the character.
Get a fin. Okay.
That's it for news, really. There's nothing else.
No, the Runaways got some screeners out to to some critics, and I think it was like the first three episodes, and it got really good reviews. People are really in on it. That's the Hulu Hulu exclusive Marvel show, if you're not familiar.
Is that the X-Men?
No, that's Gifted.
That's Gifted, okay.
But this is, I'm not familiar with the characters or anything. Rachel probably would be because she's more of a Marvel fan, but it's getting good reviews, and I'm excited about it. Just because of that.
The Runaways team up with the Young Avengers at some point. Okay. And they form a little like teenage group of them. They are the children of former villains. Or like they're reformed villains. Mm-hmm. Or they are incarcerated or dead villains.
So it's kind of like the equivalent to Young Justice but reversed?
Very similar. Only they're all broken home kids.
Okay. And
orphans kind of thing. So... that was really cool.
Yeah.
I heard Inhumans was unwatchable until Whedon got his hand on it.
No, you're mixing that up. See, that's Justice League. It's only DC properties that are like that.
That are unwatchable.
Unwatchable, yeah.
Until Joss Whedon.
Marvel properties, amazing.
Yeah. Golden.
Especially Joss Whedon.
Especially Inhumans.
Yeah, and definitely Inhumans. It's going to be great. Go see it. But Justice League, check out Rotten Tomatoes first.
Yep, that's what we go. What we base our stuff off of is Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, chat is about to explode.
Yeah. You're about to that's hurt right. somebody's feelings. Okay,
he's not here.
So, do we want to talk about this?
About what?
I feel like that's an insult.
What did he say,
Doc Rev?
What was that
fix
about?
Your typo.
The print's too small, I can't read it.
I think he meant to say, hey, heroes. Yeah. And he said something else that rhymes with hey, that's not insulting, necessarily, but definitely.
Yeah, okay, so let's get down to brass tacks. We are talking about our favorite animated TV shows, web series, basically just series altogether. We've each prepared quite a few. We're going to stop when time runs out.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's when we start throwing out the honorable mentions and the speed round.
Lightning round, that kind of thing. All right. Who wants to go first? Ian!
Everyone's looking at me, so I'm going to guess me. All right, cool. So I start off with a little sugar, a little spice, a little everything nice. So, Powerpuff Girls.
The best.
Mind you, a lot of these cartoons, I grew up in the 90s, so it makes them feel really old when I say that. So I grew up in the 90s, and a lot of these cartoons I grew up with. So Powerpuff Girls was very much something I grew up with.
I really feel that if you don't have something on here that is a nostalgia factor...
Mm-hmm.
It you're not truly living. Like,
it's
cartoons
true.
Help shape minds. So.
And here's the thing. 90s cartoons are way different than cartoons now.
Absolutely.
They can get away with so much more stuff, and it was less censored and, you know, less parents saying, this is wrong, it shouldn't be like this. Nowadays, you can't, you know, draw anything without having some kind of parental group come down and...
80s cartoons were even worse, just FYI.
Were they?
In terms of, like, the things they could get away with, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we only have one 80s cartoon on here, maybe two.
He-Man would not be that naked if
that
he
is
was
true.
Made today.
But Powerpuff Girls, it wasn't just made for girls, it was catered for guys as well.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the first cartoon that I was introduced to that did that.
Yeah.
You know, it had some great, really fun villains. Mojo Jojo. Him was a cross-dressing devil.
And which nobody was interesting. Seemed to care.
No, they just knew that it was him, and they were scared to death of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the Powerpuff Girls. Not the new one, but the old one.
There's been quite a few attempts to reboot it, and all of them have really just not done that well.
Mm-mm.
So, I agree. Powerpuff Girls is on my list, too. I thought it was a fantastic showcase of superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very well written all the time.
It was a great influence for little girls, too.
And little boys. Mm-hmm. Let's not, you know, diminish that aspect. However, I think it just stands as a good show. I watch it now as an adult, and it has some fun social commentary that I didn't catch as a kid. It has right. fun innuendo mm-hmm. that I didn't catch as a kid, you know. I really like it.
Yeah, it's a good cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I literally know nothing about that cartoon other than the name of it.
You'd be the buttercup of the group.
That seems like not truth, but I don't know enough about it to argue, so.
Okay.
Just nod your head and say okay.
Okay.
Then Ryan, you're up.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so I'm going to save my nostalgia for later because, you know, I feel like that was kind of a nostalgia pick. But
sure.
All my picks are nostalgia picks.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm a 90s kid.
I'm just going to start off with One Punch Man. That's one that I've talked about on the show before.
We had a whole episode because of your request.
It's an anime if you haven't seen it. It's the premise is kind of what if a godly superhero existed and, you know, what would that be like? What would his life be like? And essentially it turns into a parody, more of a satire, I guess, than a parody, and a deconstruction of the genres of superheroes and just anime in general. It got ridiculous characters similar to some of the old 80s TV shows and cartoons. Mm-hmm. And it's a very smart anime for what it is. You would look at it on the surface, see the art, and not be too impressed, but there is a lot of really beautiful art in the show. It's definitely worth a watch if you like your cartoons to be a little bit deeper. The main character is the least interesting character in every scene he's in. He's just bored with being a hero. He does it just for fun, like it's just a thing he does. And
yeah,
he's completely bored out of his mind because he can beat anybody in one punch, and it isn't a challenge. Nothing challenges him.
So is it funny?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely humor-based, but it's not like a drama, but there are dramatic things that happen right. during it, but they're always ended because, like, you have a character that can literally beat anybody with one punch, so you always know how things are going to end. It's just okay. how you get to that point and the other characters that can't just win with one punch that make it more interesting.
I thought it was kind of like a cartoon version of Arrested Development in the sense that you laugh at all the tragedy.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
It does a really That's good fair. Job of, yeah, using tragedy as a comedic tool, and how ridiculous the characters are is also part of the comedy. And
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. It's on Hulu and Netflix.
Okay, cool.
Dubbed and subbed, I believe, on both of them. So
be sure to watch us on Twitch. And if you are watching on Twitch, you should join in and tell us what your favorite cartoons are. Up next, I'm going to talk about one of my favorites that the world will just not let die, and that's Venture Brothers. I am addicted to that show, and I have been since it first came out. This started as a parody on Johnny Quest and ended up expanding and just I guess being a parody of all 70s cartoons. There are ridiculous references to Batman, the Hardy Boys, and Scooby-Doo, and it's so funny.
I've seen that one. Is that the one that does it have like Jackie Kennedy in it? Or someone that looks like Jackie Kennedy with like a pink.
Oh, yeah. Dr. yeah.
And I think, am I, yeah. is it the right thing I'm thinking about?
Yeah, okay, you are, cool. yeah.
All right, then I've seen it.
They have ridiculous characters, both good and bad. There's, like you said, the Monarch and his wife, Dr. Mrs. the Monarch.
Okay.
There's Phantom Limb and like almost 90% of the adult male characters are pedophiles. And,
oh,
except yeah. for the one giant dude. What's that dude's name? The guy that's like the bodyguard.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Brock Sampson.
Brock Sampson, yes.
Played by Patrick Warburton. is just absolutely incredible in that role. Like, that was the first role for me that convinced me he could play someone other than the Tick. Because before that, I couldn't see him as anything else
other than the Tick. He did the live action of the Tick, yeah.
He did. And when I saw him as Brock Sampson, I was like, this is perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole series. When I used to have cable before I cut the cord, I did catch several episodes and I really liked it. And it's on my list of things that I need to watch at some point. I haven't watched it at all.
It's on Hulu. If you love irreverent comedies, if you love parodies, if you grew up in the 70s, you'll definitely love this. So just check it out. I highly recommend it.
It's back to me now.
Guess who's up next?
Is it back to me? All right.
It's back to you.
So I'm bringing in an anime now. This is an anime called Panty and Stocking with Anarchy.
Oh my god, you love that so much.
It is ridiculous.
Yes,
it is. And it's very extra, like myself.
You are.
So this is why I like it. Basically, it's about two angels, Panty and Stocking, who got kicked out of heaven because of their bad behavior. And in order to get back into heaven, they have to kill all these demons and retrieve heaven coins.
In all fairness,
it sounds like a video game.
If God names his angels Panty and Stocking, what does he expect?
Wait, does God name his angels?
I'm going.
I feel
with
like
that.
When they die, they just keep their names.
They never really say what if they were named that or not. But Panty is very sex crazed.
You don't say.
Stocking is very
loves feet.
No, she's very goth and loves sweets.
Okay.
And they fight these two demon sisters named Scanty and Nisox. And Scanty and Nisox is kind of a parody on Team Rocket.
Interesting.
It's and they have like a little like, you know, demon Meowth. It's very funny.
Yeah.
And extremely inappropriate. And I love it.
I think so far and Garterbelt, all of our stuff has been inappropriate.
Yeah, pretty inappropriate. And there's a priest named Garterbelt and he's hilarious.
Oh yeah, that's not.
And there's it yeah.
Okay.
And is everybody named after a piece of clothing?
No, but panties turn into like a gun, and stocking turns into like a katana. So,
everybody is named after a piece of clothing.
No, well,
can you name a character in that show that isn't named after a piece of clothing?
The
his name
mayor?
Is just the mayor.
Yeah, the mayor.
Okay, so we don't know
the
his
mayor
real name.
Mayor. Mayor.
Oh, okay.
Mayor.
So we don't know his real name. Chances are it's Earmuff.
Yeah, something like that.
So, Ryan, if you were named after a piece of clothing, which one would you choose?
Top hat.
Top hat?
Ooh, yeah. What would yours be?
Cotton muff.
Is that a piece of clothing?
Yeah.
What's a cotton muff?
There's muffs for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's what it's called.
I didn't know that. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Mine would be a G-string panty pant.
G-string panty pant.
Yeah.
Cheers. I was thinking monocle for you, but, you know.
No, that's Derek.
Yeah, that is Derek.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're so a monocle. All right, Ryan. What's up?
Okay. I guess I'll go with a more nostalgia pick.
Yeah.
On this one. Going back to... Well, actually, this is kind of two. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
So there was... It's been several Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. The one that I'm more familiar with is in 1987.
Sure.
Which... I'm kind of grouping that with the 2003 and this one just because they're very different, but both have a lot of qualities that are admirable to different people. The 1987 one is more like the Adam West, you know, kind of silly, campy.
Yes.
Individual episodes tell a whole story. There's no overarching plot line or anything like that. And then the 2003 is more like the Michael Keaton. You know, you got them darker, grittier, mm-hmm. more serious, and then you get an overarching plot line through the whole season. You know, I wouldn't recommend if you liked the 1987 version going back and watching it as an adult because it'll probably sour you on it.
Yeah.
A lot of the animation was not good, especially in the later seasons. The characters that got introduced were so bad.
Yeah.
They were at a certain point, it just became about selling toys. And so they would introduce these characters so they can make a toy of a Dalmatian.
Yeah.
Firefighter or something like that. Yeah. You know, that. So, yeah. Lots of nostalgia on that one. The show had its good qualities. The 2003 show, probably better overall if you want to watch a Ninja Turtles.
It was tighter. Cartoon. It was a little better written and the continuity was there. But at the same time, it doesn't have the staying power that the 1987 one had.
And it went for a long time. The 1987
one did.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I do agree with you, though. They. they stopped caring after like season two.
Yeah.
You know, there were issues where all of them were the same color for no reason, and you know, they introduced Venus to Milo for some reason.
We don't talk about Venus. Yeah, I mean,
it was bad. How's a turtle got boobs? Like, explain.
They're not mammals.
I've never seen a single Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, so I don't know.
Not even the movies or
the live action. Yes, I've never seen the cartoons.
Okay, so you saw the original '90s ones?
No,
like they're live action movies in the '90s.
But I saw like the most recent live action.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because it was a free movie.
Okay, I'm going to tell you your homework before we let you on the podcast again is to watch at least one of the first two movies, Secret of the Ooze or the original TMNT.
Is it on Netflix?
Probably, okay. Or yeah. Hulu. Could right. be on either one.
Fine.
You have to agree with me on that, Rachel. He can't be on a movie podcast without having seen either of those.
All right, which one should I watch then?
I think it depends on what you want. Like, I would say that the first one is probably a better movie overall. Okay. The second one, I remember more.
The second from my one is childhood. Fun. Vanilla Ice is in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to watch the second one. I watched the first one.
The first one was good. Yeah. Okay. I don't think you'll have any problem. It was cool. Jim Henson that did all the.
Okay, well, then, yes. Okay. So. I will watch it then, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about something that's really relevant, something that's going on right now, and that's My Little Pony. Now, I was not a fan of the 80s and 90s cartoon. Like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this has had several reboots. They've tried to start it up, but it was the recent 2011 version that really stuck. It got a good fan base. It got a good creator that really transformed the characters. Because before this, it was, again, just a push to sell a bunch of toys. And the whole characterizations behind them were just obsessed with makeup and hair. There was a lot of gossiping on the show. It looked like it was just bad, just really bad. So this one's not about that. Everybody is well thought out. Everybody is developed. They have solid A, B, and C level characters. They have great voices. John DeLancey, who played Q on Star Trek, he's in it as a regular occurring guest. They've had, Tara Strong voices the main character. Mm-hmm. They've had Weird Al Yankovic on the show. Like, it's a fun...
It's a phenomenon.
It is. There are cultural cons dedicated to this show now. It's got a major motion picture coming out. It already has had four mm-hmm. movies appear straight on Netflix. So... It's a big deal, and I think it resonates with quite a few people, child and adult, boy, girl, femme, masculine, whatever. It can definitely get
everyone's
group of interests. Everybody can connect with something in it. I understand if you don't like the overall show, but I feel like it has a character for you.
So who's your character? Who's your pony?
Pinkie Pie.
Pinkie Pie? Okay.
She's always happy. She's always optimistic. She's everything I want to be. I feel like she's the best friend on the show. And like she just makes everybody smile and makes cupcakes all day. So that's what I want out of life.
I mean, if you want to make cupcakes all day, I will come over and
make
them.
Because your cupcakes are really good, yeah.
They
are
very good. Rachel is good with pastries.
Yes. Do you have a pony, Ryan?
Thank you.
I don't know. Okay. What's Poopy Ryan? Pants, probably, what's, because I have IBS. Is that a pony?
It is now. I'm going to draw it for you.
What's Ryan's pony? Do you have a pony for him?
Ryan, no. There's, I wouldn't pick a pony for
Thank
him.
Thank you.
What's Ryan, that goat one?
Wow.
Okay.
No, there's a goat. There is a goat.
That is Discord.
There we go.
And Ryan has said multiple times that he would DM a My Little Pony D&D game for me.
That's true.
And he would play it. He would be Discord.
Yeah.
And I would love that.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
So I wasn't wrong.
Okay. I do want to hit up chat at some point. We have Derek in chat, who's one of the regular hosts of Screen Heroes, if you tune in every week. And he is really, really obsessed with something tonight. And that is something that you brought to the table here, Ian.
Literally.
Your ice.
Well, that's real unfortunate, Derek. I'm thirsty.
He said he's banning ice to the table. We had somebody mention Bleach. Docref mentioned Bleach in the chat, which I've never seen. It's an anime. Supposedly it was really good. Yeah, he said you're nasty based on your show pick. The anime sounds nasty.
Oh, well, sir, no, we're going to watch it. I'm going to make you watch it.
No, that's not Derek. That's Doc Rev.
I'll make him watch it.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it from the chat. Mostly just Derek whining about ice and Doc Rev actually giving
Do you want me to get a water bottle? I'll get a water bottle.
And Rachel's peeing offset if you're listening to
What'd
this.
What'd you do?
I added more water so it wouldn't make as much noise. Oh,
thanks, honey.
And we're back. Ian, what's your next?
I chose something that introduced me to this franchise, and that is the 90s X-Men cartoon.
Oh,
I had that as an honorable
good
mention.
Show.
You know, X-Men Evolution was good, but X-Men the 90s was just so much better.
X-Men Evolution was not good.
Well, when I was younger, I thought it was good, but
you
no.
watch X-Men in the 90s, and you watch Wolverine and the X-Men in the 2000s, mm-hmm. you realize how bad X-Men Evolution was because
that is
they
true.
Didn't care. They were trying to make toys.
I will, yes.
That's
So, the 90s X-Men was before, you know, I saw the live-action X-Men. It was before I read the comics. It was before
yeah.
everything. So, this is my introduction to it, and it was, you know, the classic yellow and blue costume. Storm was in her, you know, classic white outfit.
Love that
Mystique
costume.
Wasn't naked. They did the Dark Phoenix storyline properly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did a lot of these stories and a lot of these, they, you know, delve into a lot of characters' backstories. Lady Deathstrike, all these minor characters got really great story arcs.
Each episode
was
a two-part episode.
Yeah.
So you always wanted to tune in next week, and it went through the gamut. It had five seasons of 20-something episodes. So it starts off with Jubilee and ends up with, you know, Apocalypse, and they go to Savage Land.
Yep.
And they do so much.
They did the Days of Future Past storyline
yep.
in it. They
did
a lot of great X-Men.
Club.
Yep. They did a lot of great X-Men arcs in this cartoon. They, you know, toned it down for kids, yes,
absolutely.
But at the same time, the social issues and, you know, what's going on was still very relevant. They still kept that in there, which I was very happy with.
It's a good show.
That show was my introduction also. Between that and the gray X-Men car, or Marvel cards, I think it might have been X-Men cards, that they released that had the power levels and everything.
Yeah.
That was my introduction. Yeah, the Phoenix storyline, that made me really start to like Gambit and Rogue.
It had the best version of Rogue to date, I think.
Anna Paquin Agreed. Was a huge disappointment after growing up in the 90s Rogue.
I was waiting for that Rogue. I'm like, where is her flying? Where's her southern accent?
Yeah. Where's anything related to the character?
Oh my god.
Where's her
sass?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Instead, she was a tool for another character.
Yeah. It was awful. I was not a fan of the movie's portrayal. I really, really loved that show. That's what got me into comics.
The theme song was one of the greatest.
It's great.
Theme songs.
Yeah. I completely agree. Ryan, you're up.
I'm going to go with another 80s big surprise. I have several of those on my list. Thundercats.
That's Ooh. Mine. I have that on my list, too.
Yeah, that one, I mean, we just mentioned the best theme song. X-Men was not the best.
No.
Thundercats, I think, is if it's not the best, it's definitely
it's
right
so
up there.
It's,
and the whole intro as
yeah.
a whole. I mean, you got all the characters' powers, you got an introduction to the villain, you got all that right there in a, like,
I miss
40
that
second, right? It's great. It's
like, I miss when intros served a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could watch that intro any day and be happy.
I love
awesome.
That show.
The show itself, I mean, there were a lot of similar shows in the 80s, and,
Absolutely.
You know, Thundercats was one of the kind of group of shows that had a super masculine lead, and that used a sword that turned him into something even
right.
more masculine, and you know, but these were all cat themed, so you know that made it cool, right? But their lair, their hideout—I can't even remember the name of it—but it had like it
cat's
was like
lair. It was just that.
It was like yeah, the cat that was like
yeah,
like
yeah.
way cooler. Mid He-Man's lair
yeah.
looked like a freaking junkyard.
Absolutely.
And then Mumm-Ra was really cool. Like
yeah, Mumm-Ra was
scary.
Cool, not as good.
I
as
mean,
some other
he looks at himself and he
sure,
flies
but,
away, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good villain. He had a lot of the tropes that apply to a lot of the 80s
yeah.
cartoons going on with him, but the protagonists, I think, were far more interesting. Panthro used nunchucks and, like, was, like, the gearhead, drove the car and everything, and you know, you'd throw the bolos and, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, the strongest comparison is He-Man. It came out a little bit before Thundercats, and it has very similar parallels to it, story-wise and everything. And, I mean, they've crossed them over multiple times
yeah.
in subsequent media. But I agree with you. I think Thundercats had a stronger lineup of characters. I I never thought that the He-Man characters, at least the side characters, were as interesting until She-Ra was introduced.
I guess we can talk about He-Man at this point, too, which is another one on my list, obviously. Sure, let's do it. I mean, because there are a lot of parallels. So I did think that probably, like, objectively, Thundercats is a better show. He-Man was on first, and it was made to sell action figures. That's the only reason it was made. And I think that the characters were a little more interesting in their design, and I liked the cheesy way they were named and things like that.
Yeah.
They weren't as deep as the characters in Thundercats. But yeah, that show, just a fun fact about He-Man, it had 2 seasons and 130 episodes total.
That's insane.
So it was definitely like a quantity over quality. But I love the more ridiculous characters that you got in He-Man versus Thundercats, but Thundercats was a deeper, I think a deeper show, which seems weird to say about Thundercats, but deeper than He-Man.
I feel bad, but Thundercats actually had a really good reboot, too. It didn't go...
Never watched it.
It was good. It was good for what it was. I know a lot of people were thrown off by the anime art style.
That's what got me.
As well as the bigger storylines, they were more fleshed out than they were in the 80s, because it was...
See, and I had Thundercats on my list, but I have that Thundercats, because I know you were into the 80s, so I'm like, let me put it on the new Thundercats. I loved it.
I think it was really well done. I had fun watching it. I own it. It only ran for one season.
I know, which sucks, but it was weird. Like, they went in, what was it, space at one point? I thought there was, like, a spaceship. It was very interesting, and Chitara was much more fleshed out as, you know, rather than a sex symbol than, you know...
Is that what she was in that 80s TV show for kids?
For, you know, adults, people...
I mean, there's furries no matter what year it is.
Yes,
so.
But...
I mean, she was wearing a thong.
That's true.
That is true. But
I
think my Thundercats
was... My problem was with that Thundercats is, like Rachel said, the styling. I grew up with, you know, the cheesy, like, huge man Lion-O that was ridiculously proportioned, like He-Man, and, you know... And so when I think Thundercats, that's what I think. And
I totally
it was
get
tough
it.
For me to get past that. Even in the He-Man kind of had a show, too, that was a little bit of a reboot. It was pretty short-lived, but it had more anime-type styling, but didn't go quite as deep as the Thundercats did with being almost pure, like, anime styling.
Yeah.
And I could deal with that a little bit better. I haven't watched it. I've watched clips, and it... I like the styling the more I watch it, so I may end up catching that at some point. But
Fair enough.
A lot of these shows older shows have had reboots on our list, so, and they're usually not as good, it seems like. Thundercats may be the exception, but
yeah.
I'm not saying it was as good, I'm saying it's good for what it was.
I agree. Yes.
I think it had its own identity, and that's why I kind of was able to stick with it. My nostalgia didn't tear it down.
Right.
I'm going to change gears. We've talked a lot about the 80s. We've talked a little bit about Marvel. I'm going to bring up some DC. And my favorite DC animated show to date is Young Justice.
That's when it got canceled, right? But then got the fans to get it back?
Yeah.
It hasn't come out yet, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, Cartoon Network hated this show because the toys didn't sell. The show, however, was written by some of the best comic book writers in the industry, and it focused on the younger, more sidekick-like characters in the DC universe. They were the main characters, but the Justice League was still... They weren't even in the full background, you know. There was a Justice League member in almost every episode, so that was... they were still a huge part of the universe. I love the continuity in it. I love the overall stories. I love that each character dealt with their own problems. I loved that they brought in new characters as time went on. There was a whole year in between seasons, like it was Sherlock or something, and they did such a great job continuing the storyline and making it fresh and, you know, giving them new challenges that I was just really impressed. And when it was finally canceled, because that last season, Cartoon Network would show 3 episodes and then not show it for another 6 weeks. Or, you know, they had so many hiatuses that it took almost a year to air one season. It was pretty bad. I'm really surprised it got a third, and I'm happy with it.
It hasn't come out yet, so who knows?
It could still at this happen. Point, they could still cancel it, but it's... Not it's on Hulu, right? It's not
on Netflix.
I think it's on Netflix. It's not Cartoon Network. No. So no. They can't screw it up again.
No, Young Justice was really great. I liked that it was a team of teenagers, essentially, but they weren't dealing with the typical teenage problems for the most part. Yeah. Like, there was obviously, like, oh, she has a crush on me, blah, 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 you know, the superficial storylines. But yeah. The deeper arcs for the individual characters, you know, who is my dad? You know, like, where did I come from? Am I just him except smaller, you know?
Will my friends accept me if they know who I really am?
Right, yeah. McGann's storyline was Artemis. Great. And Artemis's storyline, yeah. And Superboy dealing with, you know, living in the shadow of some, such a huge character.
And him rejecting him completely.
Yeah, yeah, that was good, and I really liked when Batman came in and was like, you need to, yeah. Clark, you need to treat him better, be something more for him. And yeah, the Justice League being involved with it was okay. I mean, I think that the season one finale, when they have to end up, I'm not going to spoil it, but they end up fighting members of the Justice League, I thought that was really cleverly done. And the use of the Justice League, even though it was fairly minor through the rest of the season, made that more emotional. And, you know, Green Arrow was great in it, which I love when they get Green Arrow right, because he's one of my favorite characters. And Black Canary, also very great.
She was done really well in this.
Yeah, really all the Justice League characters were pretty well done. I don't really have any complaints about any of them from that show. So, I agree. I really like. That's one of the few DC TV shows that I've actually watched, and animated shows that I've watched, and I like it a lot, yeah.
I know I love a show when I can rewatch it, and I've watched both seasons of Young Justice, I think, 3 times through now, so I really enjoy it.
Ian hasn't seen it, but he's going to have a whole list of things to watch after tonight.
I will. I'm taking notes as we speak.
Doc Rev did say that he's going to watch that show based on your recommendation to anime, by the way.
All right.
He said that in chat, so.
I will take his word for it. So I'm going to bounce off of you and keep the DC train going.
Hot.
And I'm going with the original Justice League.
Good call.
This was
really good show.
Something that, you know, really tugged on my heartstrings, because you have Kevin Conroy back as Batman, and he is my Batman.
Yes.
So, and having Bruce Timm write it, and, you know, having design stuff, and Paul Dini coming back in, this cartoon is very much a lot of people's versions of these characters. Like, that version of Wonder Woman, Susan Eisenberg, is my Wonder Woman.
I love her.
You know, it's very much, you know, it's the kind of, I picture that as the darkest DC cartoon in that time era.
I completely agree.
If that makes sense. What is happening?
We got a request in chat for Ray Stantz to ride,
Hot Girl?
Hot Girl, yeah.
Shayera. Oh, just a, put your figure. I thought I said put your finger.
No.
I was like,
It does, chat does work, so yeah. Oh, dear. If you're listening to this later, sorry about that. But yes, if you're here live, it is a live stream, so.
But yeah, I love Justice League. I love that they fleshed out other villains, too, that we didn't get to see. We saw Star Sapphire. We saw more of Luthor. Gorilla Grodd, Felix Faust.
Which is one that doesn't get a lot of love normally.
Yeah, so. Joker appeared in a few episodes with Harley, and it's just, you know, a great combination of all of the DC characters.
If you didn't have an emotional reaction to Hawkgirl flying away after telling Green Lantern that she loves him, then I don't know if you're still human.
That was rough.
That whole Thanagar war, like, that was intense.
And I love that this Green Lantern was Jon Stewart. Yes. It was not Hal Jordan, everything else.
Yes.
It was Jon Stewart. And that's my Green Lantern. That's who I think of as Green Lantern. I don't think of Hal Jordan. I think of Jon Stewart. But yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, I love that show.
So much. Never watched it. Like I said, I haven't watched a lot of the DC animated stuff.
So, that show is really good to just pop on and catch an episode. There's not a huge overarching plot.
Yeah, unless you do like a part two, you're like, oh, nope, let me go back. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's always part one and then part two, and you can watch them together, you can watch them separate. It's cool.
I keep intending to watch them, but I think Batman the Animated Series was intimidating me, so I haven't gotten into any of them, because that one, there's like a watch order, and there it's all screwed up all over the place, so I haven't really
It's interesting.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring it to a more modern show. I don't know if, I know you haven't watched it. I'm not sure if Ian's watched it, but it's very popular right now, and it's one that I very much enjoy. It's called Rick and Morty.
Yes.
You may have heard of it. It's kind of popular right now.
I've
heard of
it. I've seen maybe an episode. It didn't catch me.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's wrong with you guys, especially you and Derek. It's like, it's very much in
your wheelhouse. There was a character called Mr. Poopy Butthole, and it upset me.
And, well, I mean, that's the thing about the show. Is
it didn't look like a butthole, though.
They don't care.
If it upsets you or not.
Yeah, and they don't care about anything. They don't care whether it upsets you. They care about making a show that's ridiculous and entertaining.
Are they all on acid there? I mean, I'm just wondering.
I don't think they're on acid, but I think that they may have done some acid in the past. If you haven't seen the show, it's basically a show that has it's a grandpa that's basically the smartest man in any universe, parallel or our universe, and he's his own like MacGuffin most of the time and just can get himself out of any situation. But it plays on all the sci-fi tropes, all the old sci-fi movies. Most of the episode titles are parodies of movie titles.
Yeah, I mean, just the main characters, they look like Doc Brown and Marty.
I was
going to
say that. That's very,
And that's obviously where they got the inspiration for the characters. But they're on such an extreme scale. It's like if you took Doc Brown and dialed him up to a million, and then if you took Marty, like all his insecurities, and dialed those to a billion, then you get
that's
close to the characters.
Heavy.
It's very heavy. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very inappropriate, right?
It's extremely inappropriate. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's on Adult Swim. So just for example, there's one episode where Morty wants to have this girl from his school fall in love with him. So
that's the boy, right?
That's the little boy. Yeah. Rick makes him a love potion essentially, and so he gives it to her, and within 2 minutes the entire world has fallen in love with Morty. And then also they have all turned into head eating alien bug monsters. And he's tried several like formulas that he's dispersed into the world to fix it, and it just makes things worse. And so eventually Rick just gives up on the entire universe and takes Morty to a parallel universe where they never used the potion, but instead the potion blew up into a tragic accident in the garage, and their dead bodies are laying there. Their alternate selves' dead bodies, mutilated, like eyeballs hanging out and stuff.
Oh, God.
And so they have to go bury their dead bodies in the backyard.
And then
over the identities in this parallel universe. So
that seems like a lot for a cartoon.
It's kind of like some of the other shows we talked about in terms of the like tragedies of the show being the comedy a lot of the time. But there's also just a lot of tragedy that's not funny, like Morty dragging his dead self to the grave where he's going to be burying his dead self. It's like completely numb and just like doesn't know how to deal
with that. I don't know.
Yeah, and some people do. It's just like it hits a lot of notes.
Yeah,
I think that you and Derek would very much enjoy it. It's only 2.5 seasons at this point, so you're not that far behind.
Nah,
and they're only half hour episodes. But if you haven't watched it, you should definitely check it out. It's ridiculous in all the best ways.
That's awesome. So I'm going to talk about a show that was in MTV's cartoon phase when they were doing Ren and Stimpy and Beavis and Butthead. And I almost went with Daria because it's a really good show.
I do like Daria. Yeah.
I love Daria. So good. However, I'm choosing to go with Clone High. Now, it was short-lived.
I have no clue what that is.
Like 10 episodes.
Oh. I've seen screenshots from it.
It got canceled fast. So the whole premise is these historical figures are cloned by the scientists and put in high school. The main characters are Abe Lincoln, Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, Gandhi, and John Kennedy. And
sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Everything about it is dialed up to
a million.
No, not a million. It's like dialed up to 50.
Okay.
It's still pretty ridiculous, but it's got some really good voice actresses and actors. Will Forte stars. Krista Miller from Drew Carey and Scrubs fame. Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV. They're all part of it.
Oh, cool.
And it's just hilarious. Yeah. At one point, Gandhi joins up with George Washington Carver and they form a detective agency called Black and Tan.
What?
This was also when the Tom Green show was on, and Tom Green was a character on there, and he commits suicide at some point.
I have a day off tomorrow. I'm going to watch this.
Like, it is hilarious and ridiculous.
Is
and
it in the 90s?
Bad. No, it was early 2000s. Okay. It was like 2001, 2002.
Oh my god. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Never seen it. But I did see Daria.
Yeah, Daria was great. I'll talk about Daria too. It was fantastic. This sarcastic, sardonic, you know, she was almost goth and almost emo, mm-hmm. but really she was just apathetic in her, you know, optimistic, I guess, or pretentious lifestyle. She had a very intense family. She just wanted to, like, do her own thing, and that was eat pizza and hang out with her best friend. So,
which, minus the best friend part, that's like 90% of what I want to do, just eat pizza.
All right, anything on the chat that we should address?
Nothing. There's some other suggestions on some other shows, but mostly it's just chatting amongst the people in chat,
which is totally fine. Yeah. Derek a little while ago said that Voltron was one of his. That's a good one. Good reboot too.
That's true. So I'm going to say my number one, since we're kind of getting crunched on time.
We're not. We're at 8:46. We're fine.
Oh, okay. Well,
or you can say your number one.
No, I'll wait for the number one when we all do our number ones. So
I have a number one. I just have all the shows I like.
Well, we have a number one.
Fine.
Speaking of, we're going to go with the inappropriate cartoon still. Archer.
Yes.
I absolutely love Archer. This show keeps on reinventing itself each season with different stuff. Like, this past season, they were, you know, Archer Noir, basically.
Yes.
It was extremely funny. And, I mean, in one episode, they, you know, try and protect and kidnap the Pope. That's an episode. And it's one of the funniest episodes I think I've ever seen. The show will make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It'll make you guess your sexuality. It will do a
guess
whole...
Guess it?
I don't second have guess. To guess.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Second guess. Okay. Second guess. But it's extremely funny. It's on FX.
The only bit of Archer I've seen was when they did the crossover with Bob's Burgers.
Yes, and that's funny. Yeah, that's great.
Was that an Archer episode or a Bob's Burgers
an
episode?
An Archer episode.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
Archer also started a season with him being Bob. Like, he's in the Witness Protection Program, and that's how
that's the episode that he saw.
There's a Bob's Burgers episode where
it's, I don't know. I saw the one where it was like that's what this one was, I think.
They've had Bob's Burgers has done an episode in their style of animation, and Archer's done an episode.
Okay, this one was
in Archer's animation.
Was Archer's animation.
So that's an Archer episode, yes. That's
like
that's
the first episode of season 2, season 3.
Yeah, that's like his Witness Protection episode.
I love that
Which
episode.
Is so funny, because they get the cast from Bob's Burgers there.
Yep.
And it's just, you know, it's hilarious, and Mallory is funny, and it's just, all these characters, I feel like, are a bit of my personality. So I'm like all of the agency combined, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Right.
But I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
So, you know.
Okay. That's good. Chat is letting us know that we should talk about Space Ghost and the Brack Show. And
I have no clue what those are.
Oh. I think I've watched like 2 episodes of Space Ghost. And that was back a long time ago, so I don't really have enough to say about it.
I enjoyed Space Ghost. I love Zorak. I loved the Brack song. I preferred Harvey Birdman, though, when it came to...
I did watch Harvey Birdman.
Harvey Birdman. Where's that? Sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. Ryan, you're up.
Okay. I'm going to go with yet another satirical show, because apparently that's the only kind I like. The Tick.
Yes!
So it was based on comic books, so it's not, you know, completely original thing. But if you haven't seen it, it's basically a satire again of superhero genre. A giant blue 400-pound gorilla of a man that wears a suit that looks like a tick, and it goes by the Tick and has no powers like a tick, is defending an unnamed city full of superheroes and supervillains, and just is really dumb. So the situations he gets himself into are pretty funny. It's full of, again, weirdly named characters, which also I'm oddly drawn to in shows, like Chairface Chippendale. gosh, I had them all listed. Okay, Professor Chrome Dome, the Forehead, Deflator Mouse. It was ridiculous. Yeah, there was one episode where literally his own mustache was the villain. He grew a sentient mustache. He had a villain ask him if he sucks blood, and he just intimidates him, but he doesn't actually, with this fact that he thinks maybe he sucks blood, but he doesn't actually suck blood. It's like, if you haven't seen it, it's nothing short of hilarious. Like, every episode, it's nothing serious in the show at all. It's just comedy, and just satire, and it's really, really great. The voice actors for it were perfect. I don't know the person that voiced the Tick and Arthur, when I watched the new show on Amazon, I kind of was hoping for the voice actors from the original because it didn't get the same charm for me. It's a great and classic show. And if you haven't seen it and you like anything like that, you should check it out.
Okay. I think we have time for one more round after my pick here. So prep your number ones or whatever. I am going to... This is tough. I'm going to talk about... it's already been brought up in chat, so I'm not going to talk about Futurama, although I absolutely adore it.
That's an honorable mention for mine.
It had a lot of fantastic episodes. I'm going to talk about Sailor Moon, because I connected with that a lot as a child. I connected with that a lot. It's a TV show featuring 9 women as superheroes, and all of them, every single one of them is distinct. They're individualized. Sometimes they get along. Sometimes they don't. I connected with, I could be any character on any given day, and I loved it. It made me want to grow up and do good in the world. A lot of these superhero shows, I wanted to just have powers, but this one made me want to be a good person. I wanted to, because they were equally as good out of costume that they were in. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like if you have seen any of them, because they've had 4 different versions of the show by now, you have some sort of idea why people like it.
Yes, I agree. It was a fun show. And it was, back in the 90s when anime was kind of taking over this, or at least my generation.
Yeah.
So my generation was very much raised off of Yu-Gi-Oh, Sailor Moon, and Pokemon.
And Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. So those were the big, contenders for it. But Sailor Moon I love because of their transformations. It was always fun.
My dad would always walk in and be like, why doesn't the villain hit them during these things? Like, that doesn't make
any
sense.
Because it's an anime. They gotta build up and they use magic.
He said the same thing for Power Rangers, too. He's like, they're yelling all these dinosaurs and the villain can't just walk up and hit them.
Logic.
All right, Ian, your turn.
All right, so we're doing number 1
now. Last round, guys.
My number 1 is Batman the Animated Series. Shocker. This was the cartoon.
Is it because you identify with a Brooklyn loudmouth?
The mayor of New York?
Harley, sweetie. Harley.
Yes.
Did you watch the show?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
This is a show that you can watch over and over again. The animation does not go out of style. It's Bruce Timm's designs. Paul Dini has been, wrote a bunch of episodes. It introduced us to a lot of characters that are now super popular, like Harley.
Yes.
It had some great episodes with Batman's relationship with Catwoman. It had some great episodes with female power, with Harley and Ivy teaming up together, with Joker doing stuff, introduction of Nightwing, Batgirl. They just had an episode where it was just like, a police episode with Commissioner Gordon and Detective Bullock and Montoya. This was my Batman. I grew up with this, and every single time I watch it, I'm like, just the nostalgia factor just goes up and beyond the roof for me.
Yeah.
So, you had Kevin Conroy as Batman, you had Mark Hamill as the Joker, like the most iconic Joker, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You had all these people that, voice all these extremely well-known and popular characters. And for a lot of kids and a lot of people, my age, those are those versions. Kind of like how the Justice League is with other people. So Batman, for sure. And it was dark. It was gritty. You know, it was everything Batman should be.
I'm not disagreeing. It was fantastic.
That's ice.
Derek just cringed.
He did.
Oh. I'm done.
With the ice or with talking?
In all both. Fairness, he's been sick.
Yeah, so. I have been sick, so this is very nice.
Well, who invited a sick guy to the podcast?
I'm on the medications.
He invited himself last week.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not allowed anymore.
I'm on the antibioticals. It's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we're not. I want to reinforce that mine. I don't have a ranking, so it's just another one that I really like. The real Ghostbusters, big surprise, right?
Yeah.
It was a really one of the 80s cartoons, I think, with a little more substance than the others. The villains in it were a lot of them actual mythical creatures, or you know, you had like the Boogeyman, Samhain. Cthulhu was a villain in one episode. You know, you had just a lot of storylines that were really cool. They kind of changed the characters from the movies a little bit. You finally got to see Janine with a proton pack and her own flight suit, which was cool. Some of the storylines were really dark. If you go back and watch our Ghostbusters reboot pitch that we did a while back, I had a storyline from the real Ghostbusters cartoon that I wanted to turn into a movie involving Egon, which would have been great with working with Harold Ramis's passing. It would have you know, utilized that in a more respectful way than what happened. But anyway, I'm not gonna get into that.
I liked the bust.
It was fine. Yeah. It wasn't disrespectful. No. I just think that as far as the 80s cartoons go, it was one of the better ones in terms of the actual substance and content. And it went for a long time.
Yeah, so. I'm not going to disagree. I didn't know
they had a cartoon.
That cartoon.
And they had Extreme Ghostbusters later on.
Yeah. So was it the original voice cast of the movie? No? Okay.
No.
It had good voice cast on there, though. Like, Dave Coulier played Bankman.
I
can see that.
There was a couple other voice actors that are still doing voice acting today that are very popular. One of them was at one of our local cons. I can't remember his name, though.
Yeah. But no, it ran for 7 seasons. Mm-hmm. It had substance from start to finish. Their writers did not give up halfway through or anything like that. It was a really good show.
Yeah, and it also had a lot of toy lines coming out. You got all the ghosts and stuff that wasn't even related to the show. It came out as a real Ghostbusters toy line. I still have the real Ghostbusters proton pack, the little kids one that you could get, and the little thing that shot little styrofoam pellets. Mine still shoots them.
Nice.
But yeah, it's that show was very iconic and a staple of my childhood. So,
yeah.
And Extreme Ghostbusters is pretty good too.
Is it a continuation of that?
No.
Oh, okay.
This one was like Egon is their like kind of mentor to this group that had like a goth girl and a young man in a wheelchair. So it was, you know,
next gen.
Yeah, it was more like more modern. Is kind of old at this point, like you had people from different backgrounds and things like that than the movie did. So yeah, that one's worth checking out too. I don't think it's as good as the original Real Ghostbusters, but for somebody who wasn't really watching that in the 80s, it would probably hold up better than the original show.
Okay.
All right. So my favorite cartoon of all time, and maybe even my favorite TV show, I'm not sure, is Avatar The Last Airbender.
I
am addicted to that show. It's an American anime. It's done in an anime style. However, it was made in America, drawn in Korea, South Korea, you know, the good Korea. And it was beautiful. There were comedic moments that had me rolling. There were moments that still make me cry after the 4th or 5th viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Did they make you cry worse than the movie did, or?
No, I don't think there was a
movie. That makes me shiver.
I'm pretty sure there was.
No, there was not.
Yeah, I definitely think
that was a fan film.
Yeah.
Most expensive fan film.
Joss Whedon would rather watch that in Justice League, though.
Oh, man. No. Maybe. Who knows? That was...
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean
that. You're good. Not every episode. There was a couple stinkers in there. Just a few.
A good majority of them, though, are really good.
They're solid. And they develop so well with the characters. Not one character goes unloved. And so many things are brought back. Things are never forgotten. Mm-hmm.
It's a good continuity.
It's beautiful.
Do you have a favorite character or episode?
No. Favorite standalone episode. If you haven't seen the series, if you want to see it, I recommend just watching the Ember Island players in season 3. It actually sums up the first, or like all the seasons. Mm-hmm. It's the last episode before the big series finale, which was 5 parts and amazing. And it kind of gives you the blurb to the show. So
it's one where it's the play one, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's so funny.
I love the Ember Island players. I don't know if I have a favorite character. I have a character I would cosplay.
Who I think it is?
I want to do Katara.
Yeah.
I want to do Katara so bad. I love her. My brother has compared me to Azula before, which is a huge insult.
See, that's my favorite character.
Well, because Gray is...
No, that's not only the reason.
No, I was going to say she's a fantastic voice actor.
Yes, but... God, Azula's good. She's completely evil when she's, like, what, 15 years old?
Yeah.
And she can shoot lightning out of her fingers, which is cool.
Yep.
But I have my favorite episode, I think, is the one where they're all at the beach, the Fire Nation's at the beach.
Oh, that's
and they're
a
playing
good one.
Volleyball. It's super funny, and it very much, you know, shows her empathetic side and shows her, you know, human side, but still is making her a badass, so it's fun.
It's one of those things where they deal with teenagers well, like Young Justice does. You know, it's not just a, this person's got a crush, or, you know, this person got her period. It's so much more than that. I'm a writer. I don't think I could ever write a better story. I'm going to rewatch this show until I die.
Now, how do you feel about...
The spinoff, Legend of Korra, is fantastic. It's really well done. It was not given the love from Nickelodeon, so it got same kind of Young Justice treatment, where very long hiatuses in between, and at times they were told to extend their seasons, which pissed off the creators, and at times they were told they were going to shorten them. So Legend of Korra was not as good because it suffered from outside sources.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Alright, do you want to do honorable mentions or no?
Oh, well, we're 3 minutes over. I talked a lot about the show.
Never mind.
There was a lot of like big shows that we didn't mention.
Yes.
Really fast. Futurama is one of my favorite shows of all time. I love that. I grew up with Gargoyles, and I thought that was a brilliant concept. I really feel that my Trekkie boyfriend would like it too, because Trek actors were the voice actors. And then out of all the Avengers cartoons, Earth's Mightiest Heroes was my favorite because, again, I'm a sucker for continuity. So those were my extras that I had.
My extras I had real quick. I briefly talked about Pokemon because that's what my generation was raised off of. Dexter's Lab.
So cute.
And then the Clone Wars 3D animated show, because that's the only 3D show that I had on here. And it was very well done.
We didn't mention Simpsons or Family Guy. Those are two really big animated shows, but they weren't on my list. I had Robot Chicken, King of the Hill, Dr. Cat's Professional Therapist.
I also
had Pokemon, Dungeons and Dragons, Venture Brothers was one of my honorable mentions, Gargoyles also, Muppet Babies,
and then
X-Men
also. Yeah, so, those were good.
Yeah.
All right, well, we had some good choices. Let us know what your favorite TV shows are in the comments below. You can also follow us on every social media at Heroes Podcasts with an S at the end, because we're more than one show. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. We are also on YouTube and Twitch and Patreon. We have a Patreon.
Yeah. Give us your money.
Give us your money. Okay, all right. So Ian and I have a fashion show called Costume Couture. We talk about costumes, cosplay, TV movies, everyday fashion, music videos, that kind of stuff. And Ian came up with the fun suggestion that if we get 2 more Patreon subscribers by 1st of October, then in
October... $5 each.
$5 each.
At least.
Or more.
Yes, at least.
In October, we will have a pie-eating contest. And our patrons can choose the flavor of the pie.
Just don't make it nasty.
Yeah, I mean...
If it's bug pie, have to do that. Just keep it in mind.
I will say this. I will refuse. I will walk out. I will quit the entire show if you make me eat peach. I cannot eat peaches.
I'll eat the peaches then.
I will vomit.
I will not eat banana meringue.
Okay, that's it. That's
but they'll both eat bug, so I can come up with crickets and mealworms.
I would rather eat that than peaches.
Really?
Sounds like you guys have a good vote to
All right, cool.
I'm done. All right. Get us those
people, then we'll talk.
All right, guys. Anything else tonight? Okay.
I think I'm good.
Then next week, join us Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for our ideal Star Trek crew. We're going to be building it with 2 guests, and we're very excited.
Yup.
Bye, guys.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.